Chapter 22, Meeting God. I find my way through the casino, and in a moment I am on the strip. There is a dry chill that begins to freeze my naked face, and the buildings of iron and glass feel as immortal as the ancient streets they sit upon. I look above, and the sun shining amid the blue sky and white clouds casts a pall of futility over the man-made monuments and their sickly neon light. And I stand by the Pyramid of Luxor and gaze upon the firmament above, and in a sudden the sky becomes a face, and I look away in fear and shame. It is the face of God, and he speaks, and his voice is both yours and mine at once, and he speaks unto me. Why do you not look at me? Neither yesterday nor today. And so I remove my dirty work hat and look upon him and study his countenance. Now people always wonder if God is a man or a woman or black or white or yellow, but I'm here to tell you that none of this silly stuff matters. He's a white guy, by the way. What matters is how truly big he is. He is bigger than the cities, than the world, than the sun. He is bigger than your hopes, your imaginings, your dreams, and even your ambitions. Plus, he has a mustache. And when I lock eyes with this supernatural giant, I feel the emptiness that I have always carried deep in my gut vanish, and a sudden quiet peace replaces it.
Wait a minute. Your eyes are weird. The pupils are all dilated. You aren't stoned, are you?
God looks concerned, and he moves his face close to inspect me. No.
Are you sure? 'Cause you look really stoned.
No, I mean, oh yeah, kinda. God throws up his hands and shakes his head in exasperation.
Well, that's just great. Because I have come to you with a message for the people of Earth. And who better to deliver my message to the people of Earth than a stone guy? Doesn't get any more convincing than that.
Look, Lord, there's no need for sarcasm. Listen, maybe you should find someone else. I'm just a nightclub comic who travels across the country and gives people the gift of happiness with jokes about answering machines. I'm sure I'll go to heaven, right?
Fine, I'll find another. As far as going to heaven, I can't say.
Well, that really scares me, so I think fast. Hold on. It was only a joke. Of course I'm your guy. I was kidding earlier when I said you should find someone else. It's so funny that you thought I was being serious because I was totally kidding. And the Lord begins to speak his message. Just as he begins, a second wave of the drug hits me, much harder, and the sidewalk becomes quicksand beneath my feet, and I sink into it fast. I clutch at a lamppost and hold on hard so that the sidewalk does not swallow me and fill my lungs with sand. Around me, I see, in a circle that grows ever smaller, a pack of wildcats sauntering nearer and nearer. And their green eyes shine, and their white teeth are slick with saliva, and their breath can be seen in the cold, cold air. Time that is beyond all human calculation passes, and a crash of thunder makes the mountain cats race up to the top of the Luxor Hotel, where they fasten themselves like gargoyles to the top of the pyramid. I am alone now, but for him. I look up, and he is making pronouncements, and he looks mighty and self-satisfied too.
And it has to be in those exact words. Now, repeat them back to me.
And I say, I'm sorry, man. Some weird shit was going down. I wasn't listening.
Oh, well, that's cool. Don't worry about it.
But I can see that he is sulking. Hold on, I'll get a pencil. I race to the Luxor's gift shop to buy a pencil and a notebook from a half-man, half-alligator, and I am now ready to write down all his words, the better to convey them to the people of earth. Say unto them, redemption is near.
Got it. Redaction is near.
Redemption.
Revenging.
Redemption.
Got it. I say again, got it.
I look down, and the pencil is the finger of a dead woman, and it is blue-black.
And the perfidy of man, and the perfectly on man.
No! No! That's not even a word.
Just focus.
I can tell that God is getting very frustrated, but it isn't my fault. God knows way more words than I do. And on it goes, with him making pronouncements and using very difficult words, and then me getting something wrong, and him getting all disappointed in me, until finally it ends.
And such is the way to eternal bliss.
Got it, Chief, I say, and place my notebook and the dead woman's finger in my pocket.
Well?
Well, what, I say?
Well, what do you think of my speech to the people of Earth?
I'm sorry, but I was transcribing it, so I wasn't really listening. I can't do both. He is about to begin sulking again, so I quickly say, but you know what? I'm sure it's just great.
Yeah, right.
There's that sarcasm. But I can tell I've hurt his feelings as well. I guess everyone wants to be heard, even if it's your own creator. And his face is gone. And where it had been lies the sky, and on the sky lie the clouds and the moon and the stars. I look down at my scribblings and can't make out a word of it, due to my awful handwriting. It's too bad, but I can't do anything about it now, so I crumple up the paper and throw it on the sidewalk, and it bursts into a jagged flame, and thunder crashes in my ear. I know that he is not at all cool with my crumpling of his message, and I am afraid. That piece of paper had words upon it that would save the souls of all men, and I could have been the one to deliver them to the world. I could have spoken to all of mankind, and my name would have been one with Abraham and Moses and David. It's depressing, but that is not to be. And so I wander back to my hotel room and watch Tank Girl 4 times, back to back.
On November 30th, 1969, Charles Day reviewed my book in the New York Times Book Review. I have just heard the freshest voice in the last 50 years. It belongs to a young man named Charles Manson, and in his debut work, he examines the life and work of this generation's most talented and influential writers. With his dizzying style and you-didn't-have-to-be-there storytelling perfection, Charles Manson draws a perfectly observed portrait of the scene that produced the most famous beat artists. Charles Manson has a reckless style, cutting and dangerous, and he is happily willing to break every convention our literary society holds sacred. Yes, Charles Manson is dangerous, no question, but he also has a charisma that makes one forgive his savage style. I can assert without hesitation that My Beautiful Family is the best work, fiction or nonfiction, to be written in the last decade. It is a masterpiece that will live forever, and its author will be worshipped. The name Charles Manson may not be well known now, but trust me, it soon will be. And it soon was. 2 days after the review, the LAPD alleged that a small, clownish, deranged man had overseen an orgy of murder that had kept the nation in terror during the summer of hate in 1969. His name was Charles Manson, and he was charged with the murder of 7 people. But there was an 8th victim, and his name was Charles Manson. Not the Charles Manson who had overseen an orgy of murder that kept the nation in terror during the summer of hate in 1969. The other Charles Manson. Me. The next day, My Beautiful Family by Charles Manson was removed from every bookstore in the country. I stood with Julie Grau in Columbus Circle and watched as copy after copy of my book was thrown into a large bonfire.